when you see someone who has just spent the past 10, 11 hours from start to finish getting to that finish line, and then, you know, I'm standing there in the yellow shirt, they're in their yellow Achilles shirt, and there's just nothing, it's nothing better. You know, they've put everything into that moment, and to just see them cross the finish line is the best. Just the best.
Welcome to the I Run Because podcast. We all have a reason why we run. Each person has a unique purpose to answer their why. Your why moves you. Your why gets you across the finish line. Your why can motivate others. I Run Because seeks to inspire others by exploring the why of athletes who run for charitable organizations and causes. I'm your host, Joe Bouchard, and I have my lovely co-host, my bride and guide in life, my wife, Christine.
Hello, everyone.
Tonight, we're really excited to have Rebecca Lindenbaum from Achilles International. If you have ever run the New York City Marathon, there's no doubt that you've seen her smiling face that greets you as you cross that finish line. So we're so excited to have her on the program tonight. Welcome.
I think she wrapped me in a blanket at the end. I think was you.
Probably.
So I remember, somebody was very pretty, had makeup on, lipstick, looked very, very like an angel. And then they gave me a nice warm blanket.
Like an angel. Now, Rebecca, Aww. Have you ever had a welcome like that?
Wow. Wow. That's a lot to live up to.
Like an angel. There we go. We have Rebecca Lindenbaum, Achilles angel, wow, with us tonight. Oh, my gosh. How are you tonight?
Big shoes to fill. I'm good. I'm really good. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the marathon, because that's definitely my favorite day of the year. I think you said if you've ever run a marathon, I've only been at the finish line the past 3 years since I've been with Achilles, but I remember my first year. I think I cried all day long. I was so emotional. We had about 250 athletes participating that year, and each one had, at that time, we had a lot of guides. Some people had 3 guides, some had 4 guides. I'm pretty sure I hugged 250 people and their guides at the finish line, and in tears, amazed at everybody. Is that okay that I just jumped in?
Yeah. Listen, we went right into the deep end. I mean, that was it. We went right into the deep end.
it's just the best, and especially when you know, I love being there at the very end when the last person comes in, or the second to last, or the fifth to last, because they have, I mean, everybody puts their heart and soul. I'm not usually there in the morning with the fastest runners, but when you see someone who has just spent the past 10, 11 hours from start to finish getting to that finish line, and then, you know, I'm standing there in the yellow shirt, they're in their yellow Achilles shirt, and there's just nothing, it's nothing better. You know, they've put everything into that moment, and to just see them cross the finish line is the best, just the best. I mean, I've seen some of your guests. You had, you know, Alan Kaufman on. I remember when he came in his first year, doing the marathon after he missed 1 year when he was sick. And I remember taking the photo at the end of him and his guides, and they were wiped out, and they were amazing. And then, you know, fast forward a year later, I was at the finish line again. And when I saw them come in, it was like a different person. I mean, it was unbelievable. I couldn't get over it. So it's always just so incredible to be there.
It is such an inspiring day. And Everyone's stories move you. They inspire you. They make you want to get out there and run. And I'll be honest with you, I've been on both sides of this, and our interview just went right into the deep end. We're in this right now. I've been on both sides of it, where I've been a spectator for my wife. We've gone there as a couple to cheer on our friends. And I've also run the marathon. And I have to say, while running the marathon is so exciting, there's something so satisfying of just being on the sideline, yelling strangers' names and wanting, you know, trying to inspire them, to motivate them to move further and move faster. It's just such a great time.
I don't know if people realize it. It really helps. Like all these, I'm not making fun of virtual races, but I'm the person that needs the carrot. Like I need somebody to say, "You look good, Chrissy, keep going." And then like I run until they can't see me again. And then I go back to walking, because I want to make them feel good about themselves that they just cheered me on.
Oh, I agree.
I run until I'm out of their eye shot, and then I walk again.
I was in the park last week. I was actually on my bike and I was having a hard morning. It was hot. I went out too late, actually. It was very hot and I was tired. And, you know, I'm just going for a ride. But all of a sudden I turned and I was on one of the hills and I saw actually one of our Achilles athletes in a yellow shirt, Sarah Heller, who's just super. And she's waving her arms and she's waving and I'm screaming, Sarah, and she's yelling to me. And that moved me. That got me going over the hill, gave me that high five that I needed, you know, virtual high five. So I know exactly what you mean. I think it feels great to have people cheering you. And in Achilles, you don't even have to know someone's name. Like the people that I hugged, some of them, the athletes came from Japan. We didn't even speak the same language, but we connected through our yellow shirts. And just to, you know, cheer that person who just spent hours and hours running a marathon, it's just incredible.
You know, funny you said that. I ran on Brooklyn, but not as an Achilles guide or athlete. I had my own bib and I said, I'm going to take the day off and run it myself. And whenever I saw somebody in a yellow shirt, I felt like I would run next to them and be like, hi, I'm Achilles too. Like I felt like I was, what's the word I'm looking for? Like I was out of the loop. Because I didn't have my yellow shirt on. And then after I was done, I'm like, I don't know if I need to do that again. I like wearing my yellow shirt.
I agree.
Yeah, it connects us. All right. So, Rebecca, we're going to go back now. All right. We're going to put this in reverse for a little bit. So, Rebecca, start with us. How did you get involved with Achilles? And how long have you been affiliated with the group?
So I started running with a trainer for a little while. I used to cycle more and I decided to switch to running. And he was one of the people who would help run Achilles Triathlon training camp that we had in the spring. And he would tell me stories about an athlete who came to the camp and may have just lost a leg. And this was the first time they were getting into the pool, or the first time they were getting on a tandem. And I'd always hear such incredible stories from him. And I used to say to him, you know, one day I really want to come. I really want to help out with Achilles. I want to do that. But it probably took another year or so till a friend of mine invited me to come to one of the Saturday Achilles meets in Central Park. And she asked me to come and I was so thrilled, but I was nervous. I was nervous, you know, how do I guide someone? What do I do? So I got to the park and I was paired up with another guide, a little more experienced guide. And we guided a blind athlete, an athlete who's blind, Francesco. And right away, both Kevin and Francesco made me feel totally comfortable that I can do this. He gave me the tether. We ran, you know, a couple of miles. And as it turns out, it was only Francesco's second time coming to Achilles. And so we connected right away. He was a young guy. And then after that, I would come on Saturdays. But because Francesco was in college and he lived a few blocks away from me, we would also meet every Thursday and go run ourselves in the park. And then we would walk across the park together to the Saturday Achilles or the Tuesday Achilles. So I started going very often and I met just so many incredible athletes. And I would just leave every Saturday or every Tuesday on such a high and having had such an incredible experience. So that was my start of it.
And about what year was that when you first ran with
Francesco? It was really only 2017. It wasn't that many years ago. It just feels like I've done a lot with Achilles since then. I met some of the other athletes. I met the head of the triathlon team at the time, Charles, and I watched them on Saturdays. The tri team would also meet a little bit before the running workouts, and they would meet and ride on tandems. And I saw them and I got, you know, friendly with some of them. And then I went to go get my yellow Achilles guide shirt. I went to the Achilles office and I walked in there and I met the staff. And they are the most dedicated, incredible people. And I said to them, this is the most wonderful organization. Like, why doesn't everybody know about Achilles? Why don't you have millions of dollars thrown at you? Like, why wouldn't anyone want to be guiding or running with Achilles? And I said to them, you know what? I'm going to have something at my house. I'm going to host something for my friends to tell them about Achilles and to raise money. And I basically walked outside. I called a couple of the athletes that I knew right away, and I asked them if they would come. And my friend Linda, who brought me to Achilles, she and I hosted this evening with 8 Achilles athletes and a whole bunch of people. And it was an incredible evening. And so that was my start. And we raised some money that night. And then the founder of Achilles, Dick Traum, who founded this incredible organization, asked me to join the Achilles board. I had never been on a board before. And I said, I'll only join the board if I can actually do things with Achilles and for Achilles. And that's how it all started.
That's great. That really is. So
fundraising is a big part. I mean, going out and running, you don't really need any money to just run. But when you want to do some of the fun events and go places as a group or as a team, you do need funding. And, you know, we've helped some athletes out with like sneakers and, you know, race fees. So there is a financial piece as well.
Yeah. You know, some of the athletes that we serve do need some financial assistance. You're right. And I think part of Achilles too, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Rebecca, is it's not only a running organization, but it's also a social component and, you know, creating experiences for athletes and creating experiences for, well, the teams, the athletes and the guides, and whether it's going to races or traveling to races.
Or Christmas party.
Christmas party. That's right. Or holiday parties. So that's an important thing. And so glad that you're able to raise some money for Achilles. Now, did that party start to grow? The one that was once housed in your house?
Yes. And let me just say, I never consider myself a fundraiser. I never have asked people for money. I mean, but I felt like this was a no-brainer. I mean, I did target my audience, though. I did ask people who run. I mean, anyone in Central Park should know what those yellow shirts are about. Even if you're not donating money, we're looking for guides all the time. You know, I mean, we have many, but there are always ways to get involved. So it was really not an easy thing for me to do at first, but it wasn't hard for me to say to somebody, we need some tandem bikes. You know, we need new ones. These are old, or, you know, they have to be fixed up, or we have more athletes we want to reach. Or like you said, it's the expenses of getting to a race or going to a triathlon and renting a house to stay in because it's out of town. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are costs involved and it does take some money and other events, but I forgot your question.
Sorry. I don't know. Did you have a question?
I don't think I had a question.
Okay. Sorry. Oh, I did. You know, sorry. The party, because I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the party's grown a little bit from your house.
From the few people at my house, by the next year, we decided to turn it into an actual cocktail party at a venue, which of course costs money. But I remember walking in there actually with Charles, the head of the tri team at the time, who is an Achilles athlete. And we walked in there and we talked to them and we said, you know, we need a really good deal. You know, we're trying to raise money. We're trying to bring people together, raise awareness. And the venue worked with us. And it was such a fun evening. We had someone else on our committee, her father plays in a band. And so he, you know, they came and they donated their time. In fact, it was coincidental that one of the players of the in the band is a music teacher for a few of our blind athletes at their music school. So it was very funny that, you know, they knew each other. And that event grew the next year as well to an even larger venue. And each year our video that we made got better and better to tell more people about Achilles. And even from my house, there are people who come to Achilles now who came because they heard our presentation or met the athletes and said, you know what, I have no excuse not to come. You know, I got to go. I got to meet these guys. And so it's grown every year. Now, I don't know, in this environment now, we are trying to figure out what to do, whether it's a virtual cocktail party or some other kind of event or fundraiser. But like you said, Joe, it's very social. And that's a huge component of Achilles. In fact, we actually just changed our mission statement to include the words that it's not just, it's to transform the lives of people with disabilities through athletic programs and social connection. And that is so important because even not just the cocktail party, but we've also, I've been lucky enough to help run some movie nights that we had in conjunction with the JCC. When the JCC does their Real Abilities Film Festival, which are films either about or for or by people with disabilities, we had two evenings for our Achilles athletes to come. You know, they came to the JCC. The films are all audio described. So for me to be able to bring these athletes to a movie, it was wonderful. You know, we had food afterwards, we had snacks. It's very much a social connection. It's very much a, you know, very much a family.
You know what? And I think that's the word that, you know, Christine and I, we've been interviewing a number of Achilles folks, and it always comes back to like that word's always dropped in some way, shape, or form that it's a family. And I know for us with the chapter that we're part of and affiliated here in New Jersey, we've gone out for ice cream. We've had barbecues.
We've had cooking demonstrations.
That's right. We went, yeah. we had a cooking demonstration, and it's just, it's so nice. I mean, we enjoy running with each other. And I'll tell you, sometimes the 5 minutes before our group run or the 5 minutes after are some of my favorite times. But also when we strip off the cosmic yellow shirts and we go out and in a regular setting, I'll say, it's just so nice to be with these people. And I do. I consider them our family.
I agree. You know, because we meet right in Central Park and, you know, I live close to the park. So Francesco will meet me a few blocks from my house at the entrance to the park. And then we'll walk across on Saturday. But after everybody does their run, hangs out, you know, chats a bit, there are probably about five of us, a few athletes and a few guides, or maybe more, that walk back across the park. Some are going on a subway from the west side, and you know, some are just walking from there. And that to me is one of the best parts of my workout, because then we're not trying to breathe and run at the same time. Uh-huh. Now we have time to chat about our lives more and to make jokes and make fun of each other or go out to lunch afterwards. Or I agree. I mean, it's definitely my family. I mean, we've had, you know, events where one of our athletes was performing and storytelling and something downtown. So, you know, a bunch of us all went to support him, you know, in that. Some people have performed in their music shows and we've gone to see them. I mean, it's definitely family, and definitely that's the best thing. When I'm there on a Saturday or Tuesday, I always like to see new guides after they've run with an athlete. And I like to be there when they come back, and you can just tell, and then I'll ask them as well, but you can tell that they had the most incredible experience, whether they're running with an athlete who's blind or an athlete who had a brain injury or an athlete who is running on a running blade, anything. They just will come back the next time. I mean, because they've made a connection. It's not just the running.
Definitely. Definitely. And we've made connections with guides, athletes, like I said.
And now we branched out with this podcast. Now we're we've invited ourselves to Vegas for runs. We're going to your house next for a drink.
Please. Absolutely. I'm ready for that. I'm ready. I'm dying to have everybody over. We actually, when the New York City triathlon was canceled this past year, we ended up doing an indoor ride at a Tailwind indoor cycling place. And then people came to my house for brunch afterwards. And it was just really, it was just fun. It was, you know, having my friends over, and it was just, you know, I miss that now. I miss that a lot.
Yeah.
It's really,
I don't necessarily know if I miss all the running, but I do miss, I miss it. You know, it gave me a purpose. It gave me a purpose. Like, we knew every Sunday I have to get up, you know, it kept the schedule too for me.
I agree. And we're still having, instead of in New York City, we have Tuesday night and Saturday morning workouts. So Tuesday nights, we're having a Google call. And Saturday mornings, we've been having just with the Try team, another Google call. Plus, Francesco, I should fast forward a little bit about Francesco because he was the first person I guided. And like I said, he had just started running and we would run together a long time, but then quickly I am now his recovery run. He is now the director of our triathlon team. He is blind. He is a super athlete. And he now does a lot of the workouts for Achilles that are being posted online for virtual workouts during this time. So we're still very connected. And even if I can't make every single Tuesday night, I like to get on for a few minutes at least and say hello and check in with people. Like people have been connecting with each other and calling each other. And just yesterday, in fact, it was so sweet. I was running in the park and I fell and one of the athletes called me and checked on me yesterday. I posted something about the kindness of strangers, that somebody helped me in Central Park. I was fine, but it was so nice. This was the same athlete who called me when the pandemic started just to check in. And it was so sweet. He could have just, commented or texted, but he took the time to call because everyone is family.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, even through some of this awfulness of COVID, I think some of it in some way, shape or form has actually brought some people closer and have allowed us to connect on different ways. And like you say, using Google Meet or Zoom or, a number of different ways. And, where I used to just send a quick text, I'm now more apt to pick up the phone and call somebody just to, I guess to hear their voice,
Right.
Yeah. So Rebecca, you started in about 2017 and you quickly became affiliated with the Try team. So I guess the elevator pitch, what are some of the things that what are some of the signature races that the Try team does?
Well, it's funny. I'm actually don't even do triathlons, but I'm on the Try team. I'm officially on the Try team. Not yet. I'm not big into the swimming so far.
Really? Wait a second. You've done.
Yeah. No.
I never knew that because I always see you affiliated with the Try team.
Right. I'm an honorary member of the Try team. Okay. I'm going to come clean and tell you that I've not done one.
There's always next year.
Yes, exactly. I have tried the tandem and that was a little scary at the time, but it wasn't during a race and I run, but I have not yet been swimming. So the Try team, obviously the New York City Triathlon is a huge race that our athletes do. But the one that I went to was in Montauk, and it was the first time I'd ever joined the team. Joined the team for a race. So we rented some houses out there. In fact, we brought the food. One of our athletes who's amazing, she did the grilling. We were all hanging out, and they decided, there was blue algae in the water, so they had to switch the race the night before from a lake swim to the ocean.
What?
And we had, yes. And so we had two athletes, both of whom are blind, who had never done an ocean swim. And the night before we went, our houses were near the beach. Two guides took them out, put them in the ocean. Okay. And the next day I'm going to get choked up, but watching, 5 a.m, we're there getting ready and, waiting to go into the water. And, we ran down to the water. And when I saw these two athletes come out of the water, it was the most incredible thing. I mean, that's not easy for anybody to run into an ocean like that. And there were these huge rocks where they had it. You had to step over these big rocks. And they came out and they were such heroes. They were amazing. It was their first triathlon ever. And that was a big race that we did, the team. Yeah. And I know that you, Joe, you said that you want to get back into guiding. When I asked you the other day, guiding a triathlon, we're always looking for guides for the tri team.
I'd love to. I mean, but I got to tell you, Rebecca, for our listeners at home, there's a huge difference between swimming in a lake and then doing your first ocean swim. Mm-hmm. Like that's, and to put all your faith in your guide, to get you through that, and then for you to muster up the strength to get you through it, that's a scary accomplishment, but one that just speaks volume about the athlete's perseverance to do that, because that really is an ocean swim can be scary. Yeah. You know? Yep. Wow.
It was just incredible. I mean, the most heartwarming thing, Adam and Simon, both of them, superstars. You know, we do this training camp in New Jersey. One of our athletes and guide, they sponsor our training camp at a place in New Jersey. And it's the start of the season. It's a big bonding weekend. You know, we do some drills, we do swimming, but in a pool, we do the tandem running. And it's also a great, wonderful bonding weekend. In fact, your New Jersey head, Joe Sorbonelli, came last year. And he also was a superstar and came at the last minute. I believe we needed extra guides and he helped out. And I'm sure he felt the same way that I did and everyone did. People really shared their fears even of starting and trying for a triathlon. Like you said, no one even expected oceans to come a few months later, but people really bared their souls just when we were starting our introduction. At the end of the weekend, people, again, it's just like how when I started and heard about it, now I was able to witness somebody getting on a tandem bike the first time since losing a limb or getting in the pool. And it was even more incredible to be there than to hear about it.
Rebecca, when people guide, do they have to do all three, or could do you switch off?
So that's a good question. That's a good question. I do think it depends on the race. Like there was a duathlon in New York City. So it was run, bike, run. So I did the run part with someone and someone else did the biking. I think it really depends on the race. I don't have a good enough answer for that, but I know that some of them are relays and you can switch. I do think in New York City you can, but I'm not 100% sure.
Only because I'm not a swimmer, but I'd be happy to help out in another way. You know what? I could be like the finish line girl, like you. Right. I can't look as pretty. I promise I will not be as pretty, but maybe I could just cheer people on, because I know it's something that Joe's interested in doing and if I could help out, but I'm definitely not a swimmer.
There are always things to do there. I mean, whether I know there are actual real titles of handlers or different things of people who might help an amputee carry their leg to when they come out of the water. And then, or help them to get onto the bike. There's so much to do there at a triathlon. It'd be great to have you.
All right. Count me in. I could carry it. I could do that. I can't swim. I could barely, I have a float in my backyard that I sit in and has like a little drink holder.
I love that. That's perfect.
She's mastered that. She has.
I could keep myself up, but I could not help somebody else keep themselves up. I'll help out in other ways.
There you go. Okay. The purpose of the podcast.
I want to be part of of the tri team and not actually do a tri. I want to be just like
you. That's like me. Exactly. It's the best. People think I do them, so it works. You know?
I did. I really did.
I have a jersey.
I saw pictures from last year.
But you're part of the team. You're still that doesn't take away anything. You're still part of the team. I was an alternate cheerleader. I know I was still part of the team, although I did not compete. I wore my little outfit and I was still part of the team.
That works.
When you're there cheering me on, you're part of the team.
I'm part of the
That's
team.
It. Right.
Someone has to pack all the goodies that I put in the rooms at the weekend. You know, that doesn't. It's got to happen. I need your help. You can help me.
That's it. So far, we have invited ourselves over to your house for drinks. We've invited ourselves to
part of the team.
Try team. That's it.
We're going to Vegas. Where else? This was a bad move for you and I. We just
We're
invited
doing
ourselves.
Tennessee.
Oh, right. I want to come with you guys. I think I was telling Joe, like, actually, it's funny. One of the first things I do if we're going on a family vacation is look for the Achilles chapter. And one of the last times we're in Colorado, the Achilles chapter only, they meet on, maybe it's a Monday. I don't remember what day, but my family flew back and I stayed an extra day so I could run with the Pikes Peak chapter. And it was the best. They're just, I mean, I love to do that. I love to meet different chapters. And actually that turned out great because I ended up running with a young 12-year-old girl who was blind. And in New York City, most of our Achilles kids have a form of autism or something, but we don't have too many, if any, athletes who are blind children. And this was a new experience for me. It was incredible. And she was so wonderful teaching me about where we were running on the path. And I connected with that chapter. And then about a year later, I brought two of our New York City Achilles athletes, Francesco and Andrew, both of whom are blind athletes, and we joined them in their hike halfway up Pikes Peak to a sleepover up in the cabin there. And then we went bouldering the next day, and it was incredible. It was the most incredible experience. Yeah. So I have a fondness for our Pikes Peak chapter, our Denver chapter, and a few others that I've run with. So I'm going to join you. If I could do anything, I would love to visit every Achilles chapter and run with them. And
all right, listen,
so I'll go with you.
Mission accepted. So Christine and I, we have a motorhome that we drive, and we do a lot of national parks, and we do a lot of traveling with it, and we take our boys and our chocolate lab with us. But I think I'm going to paint that thing cosmic yellow.
That's a good idea.
Just write "Go Achilles" on it, and we're gonna travel next summer.
You know, I love that. We could take this podcast on the road.
Oh no, we could. We could. That's it.
Well, you did.
On the road.
You had Nevada already. I love it. That's great.
So, Rebecca, the purpose of our podcast is really to talk with people who work for charitable organizations, run for charitable organizations, and really try to understand what motivates them to run and why do they run. So, simply put, why do you run? Why do you volunteer? Why do you help out?
So why do I run? Well, I run for a few reasons. I run because I like to get outside and be in nature. I can clear my head. I can think about anything and just feel, I don't know, feel the escape of life, I guess. That sounds strange.
No.
But it's also, I know it sounds strange, I run so I can keep staying healthy so that I can guide more. And I've had a few injuries over the past couple of years, and I still go to every Achilles workout, but I wasn't guiding. I wasn't running as much then. And so I just want to be able to do that again. But I run. I like the freedom of running. I like to be able to get out. And if I'm away anywhere, just to run and see different places, I think it's great.
I was just going to jump on because you brought up a really good point. I love, like, when we go to a new place and we have the opportunity to just go out for a quick run and get to explore something brand new. It's, there's something about it. It's, there's, you don't notice it when you're in your car. You don't notice it when you're, you know, taking a tour, but when you're just out there by yourself in a new place, lace up your sneakers and go out, there's just something so exciting about seeing and exploring something new.
Well, Joe mentioned the RV. I love running in the campground. And sometimes it's not much of a run because it might be only a mile and I do it a couple times. But I always come back and I'm like, Joe, this one RV had a setup and they had like a pizza maker. And then like Joe runs out and gets a pizza maker because I just saw it on my run. Or I'll run by another one. I'll be like, Joe, they have like flags on their roofs. Like, so just being able to run just in the campground gives me ideas on what to
do. I'm calling BS. It was Joe. They've got a margarita machine.
That was true. Joe, that was true. That was true. They had
I
a
saw
bar.
This drink. I saw this bar.
It's true.
You're they keeping had- it clean for the show. You're full of it.
But my point is, I do. I run. I when I run around, I can see like with other, even in my town too. I run around the town. I'm like, I don't even want to tell Joe my new plan. But I saw a house while I went for my run today. I'm like, that would look nice on our house. So I see different like plants, different flowers, different things I want to do to my house. So it's just, it's nice to get out there.
I think it's so running. Great that you go to all these national parks. I love that. I mean, I tried, well, it wasn't intentionally, but I ended up trail running in Colorado once because I asked someone where to run and they just assumed I wanted a trail. So I didn't have trail running shoes. It was a little slippery, but it was so beautiful and I loved every minute of it. And I agree. You just go anywhere new and everything around you is an adventure. Yeah. So I think that's the best. I love that.
So, Rebecca, you mentioned about the Achilles Kids program. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm not that familiar with the Achilles Kids program.
I can tell you a little bit. So on Saturdays in Central Park, right where the Achilles adults meet, the kids meet an hour earlier. And that is pretty much from what I understand, set up ahead of time with guides and kids, and they will do loops around on the bridle path of Central Park around the reservoir. And we have, they do that 3 times a month. And then once a month, they meet at the JCC. In fact, Janet Patton, who's the head of our Freedom Team, she runs the kids program at the JCC. And I have yet to go watch them because that ends up being the same time as our workout, but I hear it's so much fun. And in addition to those workouts with the kids, we're also in a lot of schools where we work with the PE department doing different kind of races with the kids, virtual races. Some children are in wheelchairs, and it's medal driven, it's distance driven. So I don't know enough to give you all of the information, but we run that in a lot of schools, I believe, across the country. The only chapter that has a separate kids program with a great director is New York City. So we have separate for kids. And some of the people in our, some of our athletes now in our adult program have been an Achilles kid. Actually, they've grown up in Achilles, and now they run with us. And it's, yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's wonderful to watch them, and their parents are there, and everyone is cheering because they start their runs at the same time, and they go around. And it's really a very special program.
We'll have to go in the city one time when things open up and go check that out, Chris. Yeah, that sounds really cool.
I hope so. It's so special to watch. And you have a lot of volunteers for that as well, but they sign up ahead of time.
So, Rebecca, being a volunteer and part of Achilles, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to join, whether they be an athlete or a guide?
Right. Well, it's going to look a little different now, Achilles, because of what's going on in the world with the pandemic. But I guess the advice I would give is not to be afraid of guiding. Because you're going, basically the way it has worked is that you would show up in Central Park and we would pair you, Michael Anderson, the head of our New York City chapter, he will stand there and he'll pair you up with an athlete. He'll ask an athlete, you know, how many miles do you want to run and what is your pace? And, or we also have people walking. So if you show up, they're going to pair you with someone. And generally we don't pair a new guide with an athlete who's blind the first time. We try to have 2 guides at least with them. In most cases, we try to do that. So even though you might be a little bit nervous to come, everybody's so warm and welcoming that don't let your nervousness stop you from showing up. It'll be the best experience you've ever had. So I would say that.
You do get nervous. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm just thinking about my friend. You get nervous because you'd like, blind or any, you know, just running along somebody you don't know. It's just, am I going to have the right conversation? Am I going to hold this person back? Are they going to like me? Is this, you know, right. Like, am I going to get lost? You
know? Right. And we do a good job. You know, Michael generally will talk to the new volunteers before we start pairing people up, and he'll give them some pointers. And, you know, some athletes do like conversation. Some may not be talking as much, but you know, we're there so that our athletes can get out and get the exercise and have the social connection, you know, and so you just being there, just showing up is already, you know, halfway. So the run or the walk or the, you know, the conversation or just the smile is really, really helpful. And it's really incredible. I miss it so much.
I do soon. Too. Soon.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think it'll look a little bit different. I think we may need to do, you know, an RSVP ahead of time so that we know, you know, who's coming to make sure we have guides. Because, you know, in New York, sometimes we could have, you know, 50 guides standing there and, you know, fewer athletes. And it's great to pair up with 6 people. But now with social distancing, we have to be a little bit, you know, handle it a little bit differently. But everyone's just waiting to start.
Yeah, we're getting started this week in New Jersey.
And oh, really?
Our chapter leader, he has created quarantines. And we're keeping our teams together and we're doing staggered starts and practicing social distancing, masks. Temperature taking masks.
Right. Yeah, so that's what it sounds like we're going to be doing once we feel that it's safe enough to do that.
Yeah, I think
we're... Oh, I'm so glad you guys are starting. I didn't know.
Yeah, we're quarantined, so this way, you know, we're
I love
I hope that. I hope Hujo and I have will be okay with being stuck with us during this quarantine.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be very lucky.
I was looking forward to being stuck with somebody else.
Joe's just happy to have somebody else in this mix other than just him and I.
Does this quarantine here? I'm ready. I'm ready to hand the baton over on this quarantine.
No, you know what though? It's going to be difficult to run with the mask, but I'm also thinking, not that we're not training for something, but you know what? If we're going, we don't have to do the 9-minute pace. We could do the 11-minute pace. We could do some walking, and it just to get outside and to, because I know some of the athletes haven't done any running.
Right.
You know, I'm out there and Joe's out there, and we're doing our own run, our solo runs, our treadmill runs, but some of our athletes haven't. So it's going to be different. Just mm-hmm. have to just make sure we keep it safe.
It's more of the social piece. Just
right.
getting ready to connect again. You know, it's the social and emotional piece.
Well, we are missing a little of the social piece. We're not hanging out before or after. You know, that's going, you know, I know all the athletes like to see each other and we are just meeting with our team and going. So, there, you know, it's a modified social piece.
One of our athletes said, well, in a tandem, are we 6 feet apart from each other? You know, person in front, person behind. I'm not sure.
I said, you pull out those plexiglasses in between.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Put one of those shields.
Yeah, that's funny. So that's not a bad idea. Get the plexiglass. So, I don't know. Little by little, we'll get there. I mean, I know there are people running together because they've been in their pods already. You know, athlete and guides who are connected or they have they're, you know, living together or something. So people are getting out, but there are a lot of people that are not. And the fact that you guys are even starting, I'm so thrilled to hear that. I know other countries have started. It depends where, but I'm so thrilled to hear that New Jersey is starting. Do you know, actually, when I was getting over an injury last year and I was going to do I was doing the seven miler, and your fearless leader, Joe, I saw him, I guess, the day before, and he said, I'll run with you. And I said, don't you have to guide somebody? And he said, no. And turns out his daughter guided someone. And I got there, and I think, I don't know if you guys were there for that. A lot of New Jersey people were there that day. And he got me through that race, and it was so much fun. And I said, great. I'm so glad he guided me. It was a lot of fun. So I wanted to tell you one more story that always makes me think of how when I started Achilles, because Francesco was the first person I guided, but one of the second people that I guided is a woman named Mary. And Mary had been in an accident and she is an above-the-knee amputee. And she came to Achilles right before I had that first fundraiser at my house. And I said, and she had just gotten her running blade but really hadn't used it. And I knew about another one of our athletes who's been running on a blade. And I said, you know what, you got to meet him, come to my house and, you know, come meet him, come meet other people from Achilles. She seemed pretty shy at the time, but she ended up coming to my house. She took the train from Long Island and she met other people. And then after that, we decided she would come in on Tuesday afternoons. Now Achilles meets in the evening. She would come to my house, leave one of her legs, her walking leg at my house, put on her running leg. And then another athlete named Billy would meet her in the park and show her how to use her running blade. So we would be at Engineer's Gate where Achilles usually meets, but during 12 in the afternoon, and he would teach her how to use it. And then we did this many weeks. And sometimes if it rained, we just went to my house and they did some kind of workout for strength. And then another one of our athletes, Rudy, who also, he's actually a Paralympic swimmer, a gold medalist, and he is a bilateral amputee and so wonderful. And he also joined us in the park to help Mary learn how to use her running blade. And it just warmed my heart that they gave their time, they came, they showed Mary, and now to flash, and then Mary and I would run around the reservoir, and then she would do the Achilles later on. So Mary moved back to Texas for a little while, but when she came in last year to visit, it was she was a different person. She took the train from Long Island in her running blade. She just came up the steps from the subway, coming to Achilles. Hi, everybody. And now she's running. And I was supposed to guide her for the half marathon, but that's when the pandemic started and it got canceled. It would have been her first half. And so when I think about Achilles, I have to just say it's the family. It's everyone helping everyone. And no matter what kind of disability you have or don't have, everyone is really there for each other. So I just feel like I need to say that, because between Mary and Francesco, my weeks were so filled with such incredible people in my life. And it's just made my life so much fuller. And I had to just share that story.
That would have been an amazing story. Yeah, that would have been an amazing run to the New York City half with her.
It's going to happen.
Well, she's back now. She moved back to Long Island, and for sure, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's it. As soon as we open up, you already got your first guiding gig. So we're going into our next segment where Christine hits you with some hard questions.
Okay.
So be prepared.
Here are the math ones. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Fifth grade math, Christine.
Fifth grade math, which is the hardest math ever. All right. Which grade did you teach?
I taught first and second grade.
I taught second grade for 1 year.
Oh.
That math was okay. Fifth grade math was tough.
Well, that was my second career. So first I'm a CPA. So that was for one career. But I still couldn't do fifth grade math to save my life.
That's all you need, though. You just need fifth grade math and you can get through anything. Okay. All right. Here we go. Finish line questions. Number one, what is your favorite distance that you run?
I would say the half marathon.
What is the favorite race that you've ever run?
I guess that's the same. That's my favorite because it's the longest. I was supposed to do the marathon and I got injured. So that would be my favorite. I mean, I actually love to run a 10K because you just feel so good at running around.
Yeah, like the New York City Marathon or the New York Half or something out of state.
I did the Staten Island Half, and because it was my first, and I, you know, started the first few minutes with Francesco, and then he and his guide were much faster. I guess that was my favorite race, the Staten Island Half.
Favorite song that gets you motivated?
I generally don't run with music much, but probably like Kelly Clarkson, like the Heartbeat song. It just kind of gets me going.
Joe and I love Kelly Clarkson. Yeah,
America's Idol.
Yeah.
And the last question is what do you eat after a race, your post-race meal?
Sometimes I eat peanut butter on toast with bananas, and sometimes just like a huge bagel with tuna.
Got it.
Nothing that, and chocolate chip cookies, my favorite thing in the world.
Okay. All right.
There you have it.
Oh,
good job.
Thank goodness.
Good job. All right. Okay. So, there you have it, folks. We learned about Rebecca Lindenbaum, why she runs, how she helps out with Achilles, the tri team. She's looking forward to doing her first try next year, right?
Oh, no, not at all. Not the swimming part. I don't just help out with the tri team. I love all of the athletes. The tri team was my entry into it. But I do much more running than I do triathlon. So I love everybody and all of the athletes.
Well, and we know the New York City Marathon's not going on this year, but next year, if anybody decides to run for the 50th, if there's you come across a finish line, you're sure to see Rebecca there smiling and greeting you as you come across the finish line. It's definitely
get dressed up for a cocktail party.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I gotta get a shirt and tie.
Yeah. We gotta wait for that.
All right. So Rebecca, real quickly, if people want to meet up with the New York team, where do you meet and on what days?
So, well, pre-COVID, we would meet Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 10 at Engineers Gate in Central Park, which is the entrance at 90th, 90 and 5th Avenue. But going forward, check out our website and it'll give instructions about how and when we'll start to meet. And most likely you'll need to RSVP in advance, but just take a look for those yellow shirts running around also.
All right.
It'll inspire you.
It will. There you go. And there we have it for another episode of I Run Because. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and check us out on Instagram at I Run Because. All right. Rebecca, thanks so much.
Bye, Rebecca. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. You guys are the best.
Time to connect with Hella and get an update on the Run Every Day Challenge.
So for week 10, we're going to up it up a notch. So we're going to start going 6 miles, anywhere between 6 to 10 miles, going at your 5K pace if you can push it. 6 mile minimum. If you can get up to 10 miles, that'd be great. But if not, no problem. And the following day after that, of the first day of week 10, try to see if you can do another HIIT work, a tempo work or interval, anything like that. You don't necessarily have to get out there and run a long distance again. And third day of week 10, we'll rest. And then fourth day of week 10, we'll rest again. And then we pick it up and we're going to run a nice, easy 3-4 miles just to get back up into it. And around the fifth, sixth day, we're going to pick it up again and see if we can cover 6 to 7 miles. And then Sunday of that week, the last day of that week, go for a long cruiser, trying to aim anywhere between 10 to half marathon distance. Very comfortable conversational pace. No, nothing that has to do with speed. Just slow yourself down just to focus on that muscular strength and the skeletal strength that you will need to kind of endure this distance when you get to race day.
Thanks everyone for listening. We really hope you enjoyed those amazing stories. They are truly inspiring people we get to talk to here and are forever grateful. Make sure to share this episode with your friends via social networks. We need these athletes and guides' stories to get out there. So until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Christine.
And thank you for listening.